You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The leaks, the story of a 21-year-old airman in Cape Cod having access to critical intelligence, real-time, near to, about Ukraine, about the plans of the People's Republic of China's surveillance balloons. How did it happen? How is that access developed, and why does it exist to allow a 21-year-old to pass around photographs of documents to his pals to impress them? I welcome Patrick Tucker, the technology editor of Defense One, and he's going to introduce us into the Joint Worldwide Intelligence Communications System, called JWICS, JWICS. Patrick, a very good evening to you. JWICS was the way in for the airmen. What is it, and how does it work? Good evening to you.
Good evening. So, there's a lot of people that are obviously very upset by this leak, which happens for a couple of reasons. The biggest one is that the U.S. military just classifies too much stuff. But another one is this question of access. So we know that this kid, Texeria, was with the Air National Guard's 102nd Intelligence Wing. So he basically worked in IT. He was an IT maintainer. And yes, as such, had access to JWICS, which is the giant network of basically intranet for Pentagon secrets. I talked to one Defense Department official who works in insider threat detection, very much mitigating and hopefully predicting instances like this and then cleaning up the aftermath after things come out. And he likened JWICS to basically a big hotel. So if you have some classification, just generic access, then you can get to the aspects of the hotel that are public, quote unquote, like the pool, or the bar, or the lobby, things like that. You need only very rudimentary access. But you can't get into the individual rooms. That's metered out on a need-to-know basis. So not everybody in the world has access to everything that has clearance, that has some sort of secret or top-secret clearance, can get into all of the secret or top-secret stuff, unless you are a maintainer. So then you have to have, like in a hotel, maintenance has to be able to get into all the rooms. Same thing here. And a lot of the reason for that, according to the official that I spoke to, is just this very old-fashioned way the Pentagon basically creates and stores data. So they have cloud capabilities, but all they've done is ask cloud providers to host their data, and they just recreate their data centers in that environment, as opposed to we're working with like cloud native technologies the way a Fortune 500 business would, where you could stand up like a virtual private room so you could hand out classified information only for brief periods to very specific people, and then that access disappears. And most importantly, maintainers would need to have access to all the data to do their work.
If I understand correctly, the fix, what is to be done, exists. It's cloud technology, which of course is one of the revelations of these last years. They're competing cloud technologies, multi-clouds. People use different providers. It's right there. What prevents them? Cost?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of fixes here. One of them is, yes, adopting cloud-native approaches to data storage and hosting, as opposed to just asking for a more expensive version of the way you're hosting your data now. That's one. But another very important step, according to the official that I talked to, just allowing the Pentagon and the intelligence community to use publicly available social media posts to try and figure out when leaks like this happened. Texeira didn't himself post about all of the stuff that he was putting on Discord, but people around him were, so you could it theoretically detect leaks a lot sooner. The key one, though, is just that there are way too many things that are classified, and these are things that the U.S. Military and intelligence leaders have been complaining about to lawmakers for years now. There's just way too much stuff that is stamped classified to keep a hold of. And that speaks to like a much larger problem, because the more secrets that you have, the harder it is to maintain all of them. I talked to a really interesting researcher out of the UK. His name is David Grimes. He's a cancer researcher. But he's also at heart a data scientist. And he's in 2016 wrote a peer-reviewed journal paper that shows that basically you can predict when any secret that you have is going to expire on the basis of a few factors: the number of people that know the secret and the amount of time that they have to maintain the secret. The more people you add, the faster your secret is going to fail. But according to the official that I spoke to, the Defense Department really just doesn't take any sort of analytical or data-forward approach to classifying things. Things just get stamped classified. It's assumed that they'll stay secret forever, and both of those impulses are just wrong.
I want to understand. The fix would look like a cloud-based silo where you would only have limited number of people who can get in for limited time periods, and then they're out, and they can't get back in without permission. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's one solution. That would certainly bring down the number of people that were going to have access to the secret for any period of time, and you would have much better ability to see who exactly they were, as opposed to a big sort of like repository like this. That is one aspect of it. But again, there are multi-fixes here. So another approach or strategy that you need to mitigate this is allowing for open source hunting of references to classified material out on the just in things that people post publicly, not invading privacy on the web. But the most important really is just classifying a lot less stuff and figuring out how to expire stuff that is quote unquote secret. So first, you're creating in the cloud virtual instances where people share classified information, but you're also classifying fewer things, and you're deciding to let classification expire rather than just be surprised when your stuff gets out, because it's really inevitable. Stuff is just going to get out.
Patrick also writes about the positive, AI. AI is much in the news because apparently it's going to take over the solar system and not tell us. But CENTCOM has hired an AI guru from Google. His name is Andrew Moore, former director of Google Cloud AI, to head CENTCOM's new approach to data and innovation. This looks like a giant step forward. What's it going to look like?
Well, Moore comes from Google, where he was in charge of AI for cloud. Basically the head of Google Cloud AI, talked with General Carrillo, who's the head of CENTCOM, and they together came up with some things that he can do over at CENTCOM. Number one is fusing together all of this data that CENTCOM is now collecting to derive new insights and new understandings of that threat environment. And CENTCOM has been really forward-looking on a lot of experimentation with drones, air drones, sea drones, et cetera, to collect information. But also, they've been really forward on enabling warfighters in theater to come up with tools that they actually need to solve problems, or at very least talk about what problems they're facing and work with technologists to develop a solution. So CENTCOM is, in many ways, under Carrillo, turning itself into kind of a living laboratory for experimentation with a lot of new things. And Moore was very attracted by that, because in this environment, because of all of the things that CENTCOM is doing, you actually have enough data that you can begin to train some AI on to reach insights that would be impossible kind of anywhere else. So, you know, we have a lot of different sensors and things in the Pacific and elsewhere, but you also have a very high-tech adversary there that is going to limit or thwart or frustrate your collection capability, and you have to be very careful. Whereas the CINCOM AOR continues to be a really great environment for collecting data and collecting intelligence, but now the new challenge, and this is what Moore is going to help do, is turning all of that collected data and intelligence in this what they call a permissive environment, meaning not a ton of air defenses to shoot at your drones is basically all that means, or planes, turning all of that new intelligence into insights to let them understand and better predict things that might like pop off.
This sounds like a baby DARPA competition with DARPA.
Well, DARPA's job is to create things that don't exist anywhere yet on the planet that serve a vital sort of national security need. This is more like taking information and data that now is available and turning that into something that can be useful in a new way. So it is very pioneering in that sense, but it's less creating a new thing and more kind of enabling folks on the ground to create their own new stuff, but also seeing what all of this data actually says about what's already there. So really revealing things that were invisible without this analysis, but which there now is data to show, to indicate, and to reveal.
Patrick Tucker is the technology editor of Defense One. We're headed to drone warfare, and the U.S. Navy, especially in the Pacific. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.